Father, we pray that this morning, that we can continue just to keep our minds, our eyes focused on you, that we can continue to see that you are our captain, and we can trust our soul and our allegiance fully and completely to you. Would you be with us here this morning as we continue through our service? Would you continue just to inspire us by your Holy Spirit to continue to dive deeper into your word, to better understand who it is that you are, and continue just to trust you as our captain, to continue to trust you in everything that we do. And so, Father, would you be with me now as I dive into your word, as I look into what it is that you're looking to speak through me? Would you continue just to use me as your vessel, to continue to use your word through me to not just inspire, but just to cause all of us just to fall deeper and deeper in love with who it is that you are? And Father, I just pray over each and every person here that would you just open up their hearts and just continue just to pour your spirit into each and every one of us. And again, just continue to allow us just to learn more about you, just to grow deeper in love with you. And again, just continue to look for ways that we can glorify you in all aspects of our lives. So again, we thank you, we love you, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys may be seated. All right. Well, I hope you guys are doing well. It's been an odd week, I feel, weather-wise. It's been hot, then it's been cold, then it's been hot and cold. And I don't know, it's hard to figure out what you should do, how you should plan, or what you should wear. It's just, again, the constant back and forth. And it's quite frustrating, I feel like. But one thing that's been interesting for Brittany and I is, again, we've been living in their place. We've been married now for a little over 7 months, which is great. And one thing we've been trying to do is in our place, we've been trying to furnish it and make it kind of more of like our own, you know, make it really just like our place. And so, you know, we've repainted the walls. We've started looking at furniture, essentially. And you know, we realize, you know, we're in that middle ground where we want something that's, you know, decent, that will look good. But at the same time, we don't want to spend, you know, a ton of money on, you know, random pieces of furniture. And so where do you go when you're looking for cheap, decent furniture? Go to IKEA, right? And so we went to the website. We found a piece that we were happy with. We liked the design. We liked the color. We felt like it fit the room that we were looking in. We felt like it fit just kind of the design that we were going for. And so, again, we found it online, but, you know, you always want to check it out in stores because, you know, what looks through your computer doesn't necessarily look the same when you see it in life. And so we went there. We checked out everything. And, again, everything looked good. It was the right price that we were okay with. Everything kind of fit. And so we decide we're going to go ahead and get it. And I don't know if you've ever been to IKEA, but you look for an aisle number and a bin number, and you have to navigate your where and find it. And so we locate the item, and it's smaller than I'm expecting, at least. You know, I don't know. It's supposed to be bigger. But again, IKEA is known for the way that they package stuff, and it's everything comes in a tiny cardboard box. So I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. So we take the cardboard box, and we bring it home, and I start to unpack everything. I take all the pieces out, and I get the instruction manual out, and I'm like, I understand the words and the pictures that are here, but I don't understand what exactly that I'm supposed to do. Because, again, if you've ever done IKEA furniture, it's not the most intuitive, right? The pieces aren't labeled. They're not really diagrammed well, so you can't tell, like, I'm putting this together. Is this the front? Is this the back? Do I need to worry about this piece and how it fits and how it faces? Is it okay if this gets a little dinged up as I'm messing with it? But after certain points, I just had to kind of make guesses and say, okay, well, if this doesn't work out well, then I'll just go back a couple of steps and, you know, flip it around or start over or whatever it may be. And so it's a lot of guessing and checking and just hoping for the best as we put together some of this furniture. And I start with this and I tell this story because what I feel like we've been diving through as we go into the series of what does the Bible say about? We've been looking at different topics and different things that we want to look into of how does the Bible talk to us and lead us in certain ways. And today I'm going to dive into what does the Bible say about God's will? Specifically, like, how does God instruct us on how we should be living our lives? And again, unfortunately, in the terms of IKEA, they give you an instruction manual, but with life, you don't really get that. You don't get any kind of step-by-step guide, whether good or bad. You don't get any kind of instruction manual of, hey, in this procedure, here's step one, step two, step three. You're just given life. And especially in God's word, in God's will, he doesn't speak to you. He doesn't give you specific instruction manuals. And so we want to dive into what exactly does it mean for us to follow God's will. And so as we kind of go into this, if you guys are note takers or stuff, we're going to be looking at three main topics and three main ideas here. So the first one here is going to be, how do we better get to know God? And in trying to discern what God's will is for our life, we first need to get to know God better. The second idea we're going to be diving into is in discerning God's will, we have to obey God's will that he's already revealed to us, essentially. And then finally, what we'll look into is how do we be patient? How do we be a yes man to God? How do we continue to say yes to what God has commanded us to? And so I'll be diving through a bunch of different verses. And so again, I'll put them up on the screen, but again, I'll call them out. So if you want to reference them or kind of turn in your own Bibles, if you want to have those out again, we're kind of jumping from place to place here. But again, the first one we want to look into is how do we better get to know God? How do we understand who it is that he is? And I think when you look at this, the answer lies in the same way that you would say, how would I better get to know somebody like in this room? If somebody was new here, or if you had a new coworker at work, or if you had a friend that introduced you to a new friend, like how would you better get to know that person? And the bottom line, you would better get to know that person by spending more time with them. So whether that's going out to coffee, or whether that's, you know, going to a mutual party together, or going to lunch, you would spend time talking with them, sharing stories, sharing different things that you guys have in common. You get to know this person by talking with them and then talking to you. And again, that's the same thing that we look at here. In order for us to better get to know God, we have to talk to God, and God needs to talk to us. But I feel like that raises another question of how do you talk to God? Right, you can't FaceTime God and have him pick up. You can't text him, or I guess you could text whatever number you come up with that says G-O-D. You may wait an eternity for a response, but again, you're not going to get anything back in forms of text messaging or anything like that. So how do you talk to God? And as cliche of an answer as it sounds, prayer. Prayer is the way that we communicate to God. And as cliche, again, of an answer it is, I start there because it is cliche and it is something that we often tend to overlook, but it's one of the most essential things that we as Christians need to do when we dive into talking to God and spending time communicating with God. I want to turn to you guys to Ephesians chapter 6 is where we're going to start off here. We're going to be in the back half, I think starting around, I think it's 10 or 11. Again, I don't want to put the whole passage up because it's quite a bit of scripture. I'm going to put just a summary part of it here. This is what Ephesians 6 is most commonly known for, right? It's the armor of God. And you're given all of these different pieces. Again, we'll just kind of read them from the top to bottom. It's the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, and the feet of peace, or the feet of readiness. You have all these pieces. And for some of you who may not understand what Paul, who wrote this part of the passage, what he's referring to here, he's talking about with these pieces of armor, with this equipment that God gives you, these are things that you put on in order to fend off the attacks of the devil. These are things that you put on to fight off the evil schemes, the things that want to go wrong, that the devil is trying to do wrong in your life. You put these things on so that you can fight against it. But what ends off here in the armor, it ends here in verse 17. But what's probably most important is what happens after we put on all of these armors. In verse 18 here, it says, prayer at all times in the Spirit. That after you've put on all of these pieces of armor, what matters most is that you're praying at all times in the Spirit, with prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. That you not only pray for yourself, but you pray for all Christians, all peoples around you. That God not only gives you this armor to defend yourself, that God not only gives you this armor to push back against the enemy, but it's through prayer that you are achieving victory. That it's with this armor in prayer that you achieve your final victory. And so again, it's leaning towards this. It's looking at this idea of continuing to be in prayer, that no matter how many things that we equip ourselves with, no matter how often that we try to defend ourselves individually, it's only through prayer that we give the final victory through Christ and through God. And so again, with every relationship, we talk to God through prayer, but talking is just one half of it. God has to talk to us. And the way that God speaks to us is through his word. And so, I don't know how many of you knew this, but again, in the Old Testament, we had several different kings of Israel that had kind of crept up through different ways. Again, this kind of goes through 1st and 2nd Chronicles. You kind of get a history of all these kings that were called by the people, that they wanted a king, and so God gave them one. But back all the way in Deuteronomy, again, we're going further back here, Moses kind of writes laws and he writes instructions that when a king should arise, there are certain things that they need to do. And specifically what he tells them is that when a king comes forth, and this is going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 17, 18 and 19, I did not write the verse resonance, but that is it though, 17 and 18. So actually it's probably underneath. I think the font changes a little bit. But so in 17 and 18, it says this, "And when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a book, a copy of this law, approved by the Levitical priest, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life." So essentially they're saying that each king has to have his own personal copy of the Bible. And again, for us today, that doesn't seem like too crazy of a thing because we all have our own personal copies of a Bible. But again, this is Old Testament times. Mass production of printing hasn't come around for millennia at this point. So to have your own personal copy of any kind of book is amazing. Like that's something that only the richest of rich people would have, is a personal copy of a book. But this doesn't just say have your own personal copy. This says that the king should have it written in his own hand. That he should be that familiar with the scriptures, that familiar with the law, that he has his own written copy that is not only just his own copy, but it's one that's been approved and has been thoroughly checked by the Levitical priest to make sure that it aligns with every copy that's been written. That in studying this word, in writing this word, in devoting himself daily to this word, that he would better understand how he should lead God's people. And again, it's through this idea, through prayer, that we talk to God, and through reading his word, that we understand and discern what it is that God is telling us, that we better understand who God is. And that leads us kind of into our next point, that as we better understand who God is, we slowly start to develop an understanding of what God's revealed will to us is. And again, this brings us to the next part of the chapters of Romans. In this case, this is going to be 12:1 and 2. Again, in the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul puts this great detail of God's compassion for us. He describes in insane detail of what it means to have God's compassion in our lives. And he brings this forward, and he kind of turns this whole passage around, and he kind of shows you this is why he's been writing this letter. And he says here in verse 1, in chapter 12, verse 1, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." So again, through God's compassion and through his mercy, he says, present your bodies as living sacrifices. Again, in Old Testament times, a sacrifice was supposed to be something that you would give to God to worship or to atone, essentially. And so when we are called to be living sacrifices, it means that we don't put things to death, that we don't burn ourselves, but we live our lives in ways that we demonstrate God's glory, that we demonstrate worshiping him in everything that we do. That when we live our lives, we live it in a way that proclaims Christ in everything that we do, everything that we say. And Paul continues here in verse 2. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by a changing from the inside out. And when you do this, when you change your ways from the inside out, you are able then to test and discern what is the will of God. And so again, in transforming your mind, in taking your mind from something that looks at what the world would approve of, and instead looking at what God would approve of, and looking of ways that you can make your mind more and more like Christ, that begins to give you this ability that you can discern how is God calling you to move forward? How would God recommend that I take these next steps? So I'm looking at transformation. I wanted to kind of make this illustration. Hopefully this kind of makes sense. This is something called a mimic octopus. On your left, that's the octopus. And on the right, these are different animals that it imitates. So it imitates different things at different situations depending on what it's trying to do. I don't know if it's this exact fish. There's a technique that it uses when it's hunting and it's hungry. It imitates sometimes a fish or sometimes a worm with one of its tentacles. And it lures its prey to get closer to it. So instead of going after prey, it brings the prey to it. In the bottom one, for example, that's actually a picture of a snake on your right side. That's a picture of a very venomous, poisonous snake. And when the octopus feels threatened, it transforms itself, as you can see on your bottom left. It makes itself look like this snake so that anything that's chasing after it would hopefully run away thinking that this is a poisonous snake that I don't want to mess with. I'm not going to eat this thing. I'm not going to try to eat it. I'm going to flee. In the same idea, again, we're called to transform our minds, to not look just only at what we are, but to move in a way that we don't just survive in this world, but that we thrive. That when we're scared, we transform our minds to lean more on the promises of God. that when we're anxious, we transform our minds to feel how loyal God has been, that we can depend on Him, that He's been dependable through the years. And that when we're angry, that we transform our minds to find peace that comes from a loving God. And when we continue to transform our minds towards the mind of what Christ would have, we begin to see more and more what God's will for us is. He begins to reveal to us what His will and how we should proceed in life. And finally, as we look towards this last point here, how do we be a yes man to God? How do we patiently see what God is leading us towards? And how do we say yes to what it is that God has in store for us? This is the last verse that I'll kind of pull up here. This is Jeremiah 29:11. And this is a very popular verse. We often see it on different cups, on t-shirts, and all kinds of different things. And I feel like a lot of times we tend to miscue the actual, the meaning of this verse in context specifically. And again, just so we can go through it, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And again, when we think of this, a lot of times people say, oh, this is the verse that I go to find comfort, that God has a plan specifically for my life, and it's something that gives me hope. That's what people often say when they read this verse. And while that's true, that God does have a plan for you, and it's ultimately for His glory, that's not what this verse is actually talking about. It's not talking about a plan for you. This is talking about a plan for somebody else. So to kind of get a better idea, we look towards where this lies in Jeremiah. At the beginning of the chapter, I don't know if your Bible has this or not, but for the ESV, when I was reading through it, the subheading for this section here says, "The Letter to the Exiles." So this is Jeremiah writing a letter to people who have been conquered by the Babylonian Empire. And they've been taken from their home. They've been exiled from the home and are now in this new place. And this is where Jeremiah writes this letter to them. He says, from the very beginning, he starts off in, I think it's verse 4, if I'm not mistaken. He tells them that they should build homes, that they should marry their sons and marry their daughters, and that they should pray for this land that they've been in. And it's an odd thing to kind of hear, because if you're in a different place, you don't think, okay, I want to set down roots. I want to build a house. I want to have kids and continue my family, to continue to grow my family. But that's what Jeremiah says. And specifically in 10, he tells them that it's going to be 70 years until God comes back to you. And after those 70 years, that's when God says that He knows the plans He has for you, that He declares that He has plans for welfare, not for evil. This is a promise to the Israelite people that God has a plan for them that will prosper them. This is Jeremiah speaking God's word, telling them that this is God's plan for them, that there is a plan for hope. So again, when we read this, we can't say that this is God speaking to us, because He's speaking to the Israelites. He's not speaking to us. And so when we look at this and we start looking at what does this all have to do with being a yes man, being patient to God? Because again, sometimes our plans, our wills, our desires are for the immediacy. And God's plans, God's purposes don't necessarily happen immediately. Sometimes they can take 70 years for them to happen. Sometimes they can take a longer time than we anticipate for things to happen. But in the same way that God has been faithful to the Israelite people, God is faithful to you. That's what we can take from this verse, that God in His plans will be faithful, and that He has something in mind for you, that He has been faithful not only to His people, but He is being faithful to you. And again, the plan that He has isn't just for our life. It isn't just for the things that we desire, but ultimately the plans that He has are for His glory and for His kingdom. And just to kind of illustrate this a little bit further into kind of real-life situations, Brittany and I, yesterday, we went to a baby shower for a friend of mine's. And I've known this guy for years. I mean, since we were, you know, little kids. We grew up in two different churches, and our parents, you know, have always kind of interacted with each other and so forth. And so I've known this person for countless years. And yesterday, we were able to go and celebrate with them the baby shower of their baby boy that they're having, I think, in 10 weeks is what they said. And I've known this guy. I've always been able to meet with him on occasion, have dinner and lunch or drinks or whatever it is. So I'm able to stay in contact. And so I knew a little bit more about this. But he told the people there that they had been praying and they had been dealing with trying to have a baby for over 6 years. They had been actively trying to have a baby for 6 years. And through this process of praying and asking, is this what God wills for us? Is having a baby part of our plan? And going through testing to see, is there something wrong with this? Is this how God is telling us that we can't have a baby by saying, no, something is wrong with either one of you? Finding out, no, that's not the case. You're both fine. And you just land in this category of unknown. We don't know why you can't have a baby, but right now you just can't have a baby. And in praying daily, nightly, when you look through all the pictures and the verses that they have posted up, this is the revealed God of will for me. This is like the hope that we have been hoping for, that this baby has been something that we've been yearning for. And again, whether it's been 6 years or it's been 70 years, we don't know the plans that God has for us. All we can do is be patient and see that when God reveals his will to us, that we say yes in whatever way that is. Because even though God did grant this couple a baby boy, through these 6 years that they've been struggling, I've met with him and I've continued to keep up with him, and he's been serving at his church. He served at camp with me before. He continues to be faithful to what it is that God calls him to, not because God gives him what he desires, but because he seeks to be faithful to what God has given him regardless of what he desires. And I think that's our goal in life here, is that we should continue to be faithful. Again, whether it takes 60 years or it takes 70 years or it doesn't ever happen, that we continue to look for ways that we can be patient on what it is that God has in store for us, and that when he reveals his will to us, that we say yes to it over and over and over again. Because unfortunately, with life, we don't, again, get a manual per se. We do get his word, and in his word, it reveals to us over and over again several different things, that God is faithful, that God is good. And again, that he does have a plan, that his faithfulness continues everlasting. And so as we continue through our days, as we continue looking for how it is that we can find out what it is that God brings us to, again, we look to three main questions. Again, how is it that you're better understanding who it is that God is? How much time are you spending praying, talking to God, expressing your fears, your doubts, your burdens, and laying them at his feet? And in that same idea, how often are you spending time listening to what God says? How often are you reading scripture and devouring it and looking for ways that you can better understand his character and his continued faithfulness through the years? Again, I think the second main question you can look at here is, again, how do you continue to look at how he's revealed his will to you? That as you look at his scripture and as you look at what he's done in your life, how can you see where he's already told you where to go, and how can you be faithful with what he's already given to you? And then finally, again, the last question we look at here is, again, how can we be patient? That when we want things immediately, how can we continue to yield to what it is that God has in store for us and continue to say yes when God says yes and not yes when we want to say yes? And so again, as we kind of finish off here, again, if you're in this room and you don't really know who this God character is, that's your first step now, is to say yes to God. God's plan is for you to come to know him, is for you to understand who he is and why he sent his son to die for you on the cross. And so if you don't know and you want to know more about this character, come speak to me afterwards. Come speak to Pastor Hong Sung. We'd love to just develop a conversation and a dialogue and just engage with you and teach you and just pour out what this person has done in our lives and many of the lives of these people in this room. And for those of you who do know him, again, continue just to pray, to live in his word. Develop a habit of constantly being in prayer, of constantly being in scripture, of constantly looking for what God has willed to you already, and being patient and being ever more looking for what it is that you can say yes whenever God calls you to. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day again. We thank you for what it is that you've called us to. And again, we ask that as we finish through here, would you continue to center our lives around what it is that you've promised to us, that you center our lives around your will and your plans, that you continue to lead us in ways that not only bring glory to you, but just to spread your love, to spread your kingdom to those around us, that again, people would come to know you simply just as a reflection, that we would reflect your glory, we would reflect your son to those around us. And so, Father, I just need you to continue to give us time, that when we feel like there's no time left, would you make time in our schedule so we can spend that time with you, praying and reading your word, that again, we can continue just to devour it and look for ways that we can continue to learn who it is that you've been faithfully over the years. And again, God, would you just continue to work in us and allow us just to be patient? That when we don't know what it is that you have in store for us, that we don't know how it is that you want us to move forward, that we know that you do have a plan and that we can depend on it, and ultimately that we can say yes to it when that time arrives. So Father, again, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your word that you continue to reveal to us, and we thank you for this time that you've given to us so we can be in your house just to worship and to praise you and to love you. So would you allow us just to continue to do so, just to respond in song and just sing out to you now just how great you are and how good your love is always. So we thank you, we praise you, and do these things, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.